Most of the time, when we think of being justified in the Bible, we think of the justification experience of being made right with God, which is what the Apostle Paul talks about. So let us turn in our Bibles and review what Paul says about being justified. Let's turn into the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, then Romans. Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So notice, when we're justified, we have peace with God. Notice also, he said, justified by faith. He doesn't mention being justified by works. Verse 9 in the same chapter. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood." Notice now it says being justified by his blood. It doesn't mention any work on our part. "We shall be saved from wrath through him." So when we're justified, we're also saved from wrath. In the same book, I'd like to turn to chapter 3. And start with verse 24. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Remember, we've already read being justified by faith, by his blood. Now it says here, Romans 3, 24, "Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So now it says we're justified by grace, by Jesus' blood, by faith, by grace. Verse 25, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So when we are justified or made right with God, we have remission of sins. So when you put all those verses together, remember, we are justified, we are made right with God. Stay where you are in the book of Romans. I'll read one more verse to you for this. It says, "That being justified by his grace," again, justified by grace, "we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That was Titus 3:7. So again, when you put all those verses together, to be justified means to be made right with God. We have remission of sins, we are saved from wrath, we have peace with God, we are heirs according to the hope of eternal salvation. And remember, we're justified by faith. We're justified by grace, by his blood. Paul never mentions being made right with God by any work that we do. I'll talk later about the meaning of that word, justified. In the meantime, let's look at Romans 3, verses 19 and 20. Last week, I spoke more on this subject that we're about to read about in the book of Romans. I spoke last week about what it means to be under the law, and I spoke more about it from the book of Galatians. Let's read about it again in Romans 3, 19 and 20. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Now, keep in mind, friends, when you read Romans 3:19, there are three things you find in there. You find the law, you find the people who are under the law, and you find what the law says to those people. What does it say to them? It says that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Then in verse 20, Paul starts the verse saying, "Therefore." Remember what that word means, friends. Therefore. Therefore is a conclusion. Therefore means for this reason or because of this. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law simply tells us how our lives are out of sync with God, out of harmony with him. But notice, the conclusion is that no flesh is justified by the deeds of the law in the sight of God. So what does that tell us about the people in verse 19 who are under the law? It tells us that they are trying to be justified or made right with God by the deeds of the law. The only way we can be made right with God is when we accept Jesus as our substitute, dying for us, for our sins, and we put faith in him, and we accept his grace. We put faith in his blood. So Paul is dealing, in the books of Romans and Galatians, Paul is dealing with people who are trying to atone for their past sins by the works of the law. And Paul is saying that by the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified in God's sight. Let's turn to, in the same book, to chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 to 8. Romans 4, 1 to 8. Paul says here, What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Let's stop there for a moment. Abraham was counted a righteous man because of his belief. He believed what God told him, and that was counted to him for righteousness, or imputed to him for righteousness. So, in other words, Abraham was not made a righteous man by his works, is what Paul is saying. Continuing, verse 4, now to him that worketh, let's slow down for a minute. When Paul says him that worketh, he's talking about the man who's trying to be justified by the works of the law. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, remember, him that worketh not is the man who's not trying to be justified by the deeds of the law. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him, meaning on God, that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So again, when we have faith in Jesus as our substitute, we have faith in him, faith in his blood, we accept his gift of grace, that's counted for right unto us for righteousness. Earlier he said about the man who tries to be justified by the deeds of the law or works of the law. He said, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Stay where you are in Romans. I'll tell you what Paul means by that when he says, but of debt. As mentioned earlier, in Galatians he's dealing with the same issue. People trying to make themselves right with God by the deeds of the law. And he says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. So in other words, if you're going to be justified by the works of the law, if you're going to be made right with God by the works of the law, you're a debtor to the whole law. You have to keep that whole law down to the letter. Going back to the book of Romans, chapter 4. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Imputeth means counteth. To impute means to count something to someone. Or when you impute something to someone, it also can mean that you hold them responsible for it. In this case, for God to impute righteousness to someone means he counts righteousness to them. I'll start with verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, he will not hold him responsible for the sin. Praise God. We can have that blessing by accepting Jesus as our substitute, the one who died for us. Now let's back up to Romans chapter 1, and we'll read verses 16 and 17. Here Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember what gospel means. It means good news. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. That's what we are, Gentiles. But notice that he says it is the power of God to everyone that believeth. It's not a power that we have. It's the power of God to everyone that believeth. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There Paul is quoting Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. So again, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, for salvation unto everyone that believeth. And the just shall live by his faith. So let's turn to one more place for this part, Romans 3, verses 27 and 28. Paul raises a question. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. We have nothing to boast about, friends. We'll see that later. Again, from Paul's writings, we'll see that later. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So again, friends, a man is justified or made right with God. How? By faith, without the deeds of the law. Sounds contradictory, doesn't it, to what James said? Let's turn to the book of Galatians. After Romans, you have 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians, then Galatians. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians 5, verse 6. Paul says something else about faith here. He says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So Paul mentions having a faith which works by love. And as mentioned in the scripture reading, James talks about faith and works. So Paul says, mentions having a faith which works by love. So let's now turn to the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2, starting with verse 21. James chapter 2. From what I've read, Martin Luther did not accept the book of James as inspired scripture. He thought it was contradictory to what Paul says about being justified by faith. James chapter 2, starting with verse 21. It reads, James 2:21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 25, same chapter. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Let's back up to verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Again, that can sound contradictory when you first read that. Some people have actually interpreted the book of James as saying that we are actually made right with God by the combination or blend of faith and works. Paul makes it crystal clear we are justified, made right with God by faith alone. In fact, just before the book of James, you have the book of Hebrews. Let's back up to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It mentions the same people, Abraham and Rahab. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is well known as the faith chapter. Or as one of my friends put it, the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, verses 17 and 31. Now James said, was not Abraham justified by works and by not faith only when he offered up Isaac? But how? How did Abraham perform this work in the first place? Paul says here, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. James mentioned Rahab being justified by works and not faith only when she received the messengers. But what does it say here in Hebrews 11, verse 31? How did she receive them? It says in verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So Rahab still received the spies with peace by faith and did not perish. And Abraham offered up Isaac by faith. So Abraham and Rahab, I believe both of them had already had the justification experience. The Bible is crystal clear. By the time Abraham had offered up Isaac, he had already had the experience of being made right with God. And I believe Rahab did have the same experience. Let's turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. This is Rahab speaking to the spies. Joshua 2, verses 9 to 11. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So Rahab clearly became a believer after she heard these things. And it was by faith that she did not perish after receiving the spies with peace. Let me take a moment to talk about the meaning of the word justify. Most of my life, I've understood the word justify. To justify something, I've always understood that word as meaning to make something right, to justify something. I took the time to look up justify in the dictionary. In two dictionaries, Webster's 1828 dictionary does tell us that in theology, to pardon or clear of guilt. That's actually the second meaning of the word, justify. If you go to Merriam-Webster.com, the second meaning is to judge, treat, or regard as righteous. That's the second meaning. But the first meaning, in both dictionaries, Webster's 1820 dictionary and Merriam-Webster, the first meaning is to prove right. To prove or to show to be right. And so the question now is James talking about being made right, or is he talking about being proven or shown to be right? Let's turn back to the book of James. I also did take time to look up the underlying Greek word. The Greek word translated in the New Testament as justify is a word that also can mean to show or to regard as being just or innocent. Paul is clearly talking about the second meaning, being regarded as righteous or being made right with God. But what is James talking about? We'll start with James chapter 2, verse 8. Remember what Paul says, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." Notice what James says in James 2, verse 8. "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." So James tells us to fulfill the royal law. Here he's quoting Leviticus 19:18, to love your neighbor as yourself, which Jesus says is the second great commandment. And of course, how are we able to love our neighbor as ourselves? Stay in James. Paul says to us, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's Romans 5:5. So now, let's read James 1:27. He says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Now let's go back to chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Remember, Paul says that our faith is to work by love. Verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needed to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." In other words, if you don't have the faith which works by love, your faith is dead. You don't have faith. When we truly have faith, when we truly have the Holy Ghost in our hearts, shedding abroad in our hearts the love of God, we will fulfill the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Notice James is talking about helping people. Practical Christianity. He's talking about helping people. Those are his examples of good works. And what is James dealing with? Remember, Paul was dealing with people who were trying to atone for their past sins by doing the works of the law. What is James dealing with? James is dealing with people who are professing faith, but they're not doing anything. Their faith is not working by love. It's dead. They don't have it. Let's continue. Same chapter, verse 20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works?" In other words, his faith was working with his works. He had a working faith. "See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" Abraham was, his faith was perfected. Why? Because he was exercising it. Continuing, verse 23, And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, or as Paul says, counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Okay, verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit, meaning breath, is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's back up, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James is talking about being shown to be righteous, or being proven righteous. He's not talking about the experience of being made right with God. He's not talking about the experience of being pardoned. Have you ever heard the expression, your actions speak louder than your words? Well, as Christians, that is true in the Christian life too. When people see you really living up to what you profess to believe, that preaches to them. And that shows whether you really believe what you say you believe, or whether you don't. And James is, and that's what James, again, is talking about. Being shown to be righteous, being proven righteous. Offering up Isaac didn't give Abraham the experience of being pardoned, which Paul talks about, or made right with God, but it showed him to be a righteous man. Why? Because he did not withhold anything, even his son Isaac, from God. Rahab was shown to be righteous because she protected the spies, the messengers. She not only believed, but she acted upon what she believed. So that's the difference between James and Paul. Again, Paul's talking about having your sins blotted out, have your sins being forgiven, being made right with God. James is talking about your actions, living the Christian life, and your actions showing or proving you to be a righteous person. That's what James means by justified, shown or proven right. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, we'll read verse 16. And we'll read what our Savior says about good works. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus right there is in agreement with James, that men are to see our good works. And when men see our good works, they'll glorify God. As Christ's representatives, we have to set that example of showing Christ-like works in our lives. Yet at the same time, what does Jesus say about being saved? Let's turn to Luke 7:50. This is the Luke account of Mary, Lazarus' sister, pouring the ointment on Jesus. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So what saved her? Her faith. And what was the result of her faith? Preparing our Savior for burial. That was the result of her faith. In the same book, Jesus heals a blind beggar. Let's read chapter 18, verse 42. Chapter 18, verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. So this man was also saved. How? By his faith. So Jesus also talks about being saved by your faith. But what is the result of that faith? Your good works. Doing the works that Jesus wants you to do as a Christian. There is the danger, friends, if we don't have the correct understanding of James chapter 2, there is the danger of thinking that you're actually saved by the combination of your faith and your works, or pardoned by the combination of your faith and your works. And that can lead to legalism, or as we often say, Phariseeism. And that is the danger that we can be in. That's why it's so important for us to understand the difference between what Paul means by justified and what James means by justified. Let us read something else that Paul says about faith. Let's turn to, back to Romans, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Notice, faith is the key by which we have access to God's grace. It's all part of a package. We're saved by our faith and by our grace, by God's grace. Again, faith is the key by which we have access to that grace. Now I'd like to take you to another place in Paul's writings. After, as mentioned, after Romans, you have 1 Corinthians, then 2 Corinthians, then you have Galatians, then you have Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Remember, just like he said in Romans, where is boasting then? It is excluded. It is the gift of God being saved by grace through faith. Remember, the gospel of Christ is the power of God, not our power, unto salvation unto all, everyone that believeth. And remember what, the Lord says to Paul in 2 Corinthians? He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So for our salvation, God's grace is sufficient. It is up to us to have faith in Him, to accept His grace. But at the same time, let's turn to the book of Titus, then we'll have our closing verses. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 14. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 14. It says, or Paul says to Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." So friends, again, it's the grace of God that brings salvation, not the works of human beings. Yet, at the same time, in the same chapter, verse 14 reads, speaking of Jesus, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Those would be the works that Jesus wants us to do. The works that the Holy Spirit moves us to do. The works that we do how? By faith. And that is the kind of faith we are to have. The faith which works by love. So we're justified both ways. By faith, by grace, we're made right with God. Justified. But the other definition, by the works that we do, having the faith which works by love, were, as James puts it, justified, but this time meaning proven or shown to be righteous. And again, friends, we want to avoid the danger of thinking that James is talking also about being pardoned, and thinking that we're pardoned by both faith and works. That's not the case. That's not what James is saying. But rest assured, Paul says to us, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. We can rest assured that. So whenever we're doing the works that the Spirit moves us to do, we are led by the Spirit, and we are still saved by grace. In closing, let's turn to Romans 12:3. Paul says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given or dealt to every person a measure of faith. He's dealt a measure of faith to every one of us here. It is up to us whether we are going to exercise that faith. And how do we exercise that faith? When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and we do the works that the Holy Ghost wants us to do, the works that Jesus wants us to do, having the faith which works by love. That's how we exercise that faith. We have the faith which works. And that is how, as James put it, we fulfill the royal law. We love our neighbors as ourselves. Let us conclude with 1 John 5:4. First John chapter 5, verse 4. John says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. May we all, friends, have the faith which works by love and be led of the Spirit. May God bless you as you continue your walk with Him. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for giving us Jesus. We thank you so much for His life, death, and resurrection. And we thank you that because of Him, we can have the hope of eternal salvation. And we pray that your Spirit will continue to comfort and teach us as we continue going through this life. And we pray that you will help us to have the faith which works by love. We also ask that you help us to remain patient and faithful until the second coming of your Son. Help us to be ready to meet him in peace, we pray thee. And we thank you so much for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort and teach us. Thank you for giving us your Holy Scriptures and revealing in them the plan of salvation. Thank you for the angels ministering to us and protecting us. And we pray that you will be with us and keep us through the rest of this blessed Sabbath day. In Jesus' all-sufficient and worthy name we pray. Amen.